So, can you tell us your name and what you do?
I'm Matt Jackfort, and I work here at West Virginia Public Broadcasting with you, one of my coworkers, Joni. And I work as a radio host for classical music and do the news in the evenings for All Things Considered. But I also write music for our West Virginia Public Broadcasting productions, and that includes West Virginia Morning, The Legislature Today, and I've done some documentaries as well, including The First 1,000 Days and Jay Rockefeller's Journey. And so that's what I do for public broadcasting. That's one out of three. The second one is freelance composition, where anybody can come up to me and ask for a piece of music if they name the right price, you know, then they can commission me to write a piece of music for their ensemble, whether that's a symphony, whether that's a concert band, or, you know, maybe a smaller group like a string quartet, for instance. Okay, that's number two. And number three, I am a keyboardist and trombone player for The Company Stores, a band based out of Charleston, West Virginia. And I play keys with them, play trombone, but I also co-write with Matt Marks, who's the guitarist, and write music for them. And, you know, and that's just all three.
And that's it.
I wish I had more.
It's not that much. That's a lot. And you mentioned that you are a composer. And so for those that have been listening to the 30 Days of West Virginia Music series, they may have noticed the very first song they hear in each episode is this kind of, you know, like, and that song was composed by you, Matt.
Yeah.
And can you tell us a little bit about that theme song?
Sure. Well, it's called Rock Steady, and it's just a delicious pun because it was written for the documentary on Jay Rockefeller.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
That's right. And that piece in particular was used to depict the election scenes, all the sort of hustle and bustle of the elections that Jay Rockefeller went through.
Really?
A lot of them going up against Arch Moore, his arch enemy, if you will. Yep. And we have, there were other elections, maybe for when he was running for U.S. Senate. And it sort of shows the rough and tumble nature of those elections. It's kind of in a country, almost Western style.
Yeah.
And sort of giddy up and go. To show, you know, all the left hook and the right hook of the competitive nature of the elections. So wrote that piece and was working with a guitar cello duo out of Atlanta.
Montana Skies,
mm-hmm. a.k.a. John and Jen Adams. And they performed the cello and guitar piece in Atlanta, recorded it there, and then sent it back to me. And then I had that file and added a drum part. And that's where I got fellow West Virginia musician John Query to play drums. And John Query is a bandmate of mine. But at the time, he was not a bandmate because I wasn't in the Company Stores.
That's right. You joined the Company Stores about a year ago, right?
Right, right.
Less than a year ago? When was it exactly?
It officially August of 2016.
Okay.
But he was a longtime friend and obviously knew his work with the Company Stores. And so I, you know, hired him out to come and play on this song. And he did an incredible job with it, as you hear in the mix. Lots of colorful drumming, very appropriate for what's going on. And I don't know if it ever gets to that point in the theme, but there's a really nasty castanet solo in the middle of it. And I always love that part because John fits in as many castanets hits as he can within a 30-second span. And I listened to it the other day and just had to laugh about that because, I don't know, he always waits for the right moment to put in, you know, a nice solo like that. So I really appreciate his colorful and nuanced drumming.
Well, it's a dynamic song, and I love how when it drops for a second, maybe, what, like 30 seconds in, and then it picks back up again immediately mm-hmm. and it starts going back at the same rate. I thought it was a great song to use. And I guess what I also like about it, too, is that, you know, you're a Charleston, West Virginian composer. You made the song for a documentary produced by West Virginia Public Broadcasting about a West Virginian. And then you also included a West Virginian, you know, musician in the mix to help
right.
you with this song. And so all around, it's like, what, 100% West Virginian production?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, between, you know, commissioned by West Virginia Public Broadcasting, mm-hmm. and we have West Virginia musicians. And John and Jen Adams, although they live in Atlanta, they're actually cousins of one of our fellow co-workers here, Russ Barber, who lives in Huntington and, you know, works and does all these sorts of documentaries. So, yeah, definitely a West Virginia mix up there in this theme.
So let's talk about West Virginia music for a minute. Obviously, the using your music as part of the series was really great. I felt like it really meshed well, given what we were just talking about. We've done a lot for this series, and we've covered a lot of different topics in different areas of the state and different musicians. Matt, what has been one thing that you've gained or learned about the West Virginia music scene that you want to talk about a little bit?
Well, Joni, I have a couple things.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Public radio voice now.
Let me get real serious here and dry.
Well, Matt, I can't wait to hear it.
And get right up into the mic so that we have the NPR voice. The thing that I learned was about West Virginia music is it takes a whole community. It's not just performers, you know. It's not just people who go out on stage and play. There's all sorts of producers, people who design posters. There's record stores. I like the feature on the record stores, including Sullivan's Records, Cheap Thrills, and Admiral Analog's audio assortment, quadruple A.
It's Shepherdstown, yeah. Well, the company stores, do they have any of their records in the local record stores?
Yes, at Budget Tapes and Records.
Yeah.
And I think also at Sullivan's, too.
Yeah.
And then Elk City.
Yeah, that's another one. That's a third one that just opened up in Charleston recently. And it's really, it's a great one as well.
Yeah. So, you know, that distribution of CDs is like a huge part of the game. You know, it's, people just think it's all about performing and recording. But if you don't get your CD out there, then who's going to hear it? You know, so that's sometimes I think musicians neglect that aspect of producing an album, is making sure that it gets into the right hands and is distributed in a way that can really branch you out into not just West Virginia, but out into the rest of America. So I think learning about stuff like that, also, you know, the feature on producer Mark Poole was really interesting. All sorts of great behind the scenes looks at West Virginia music, or that you all featured and you featured in, you featured in your 30 days of West Virginia music.
Well, that's a good point, though, about behind the scenes, because if the West Virginia music scene is not really listened to or heard about as much, then think about the people that aren't even the, like the front and center front man and front woman. Like, think about them, like the little herd producers or the graphic designers or the venue bookers.
Right.
Like, that means they're basically non-existent to anyone in, like, you know, the major scenes. So I think that's a really good point, is kind of highlighting them, because while they may not be seen as much as the people on stage at the venues or at the festivals, then, you know, they're still there and they're still contributing in a really a good and grand way.
Absolutely. Yeah. Everybody contributes. Like I said, it takes a whole community to have a great music scene. And I think West Virginia supports their music, especially when it's homegrown kind of music, you know.
Well, you know that from the company stores. I mean, just seeing people come out in troves for the various, you know, whether it's like a festival gig you all do at Mountain Music Fest or Mountain Stage at the Civic Center, you guys do bring out really good fans and loyal fans.
Yeah, and, you know, they support us and other bands like they would the Mountaineers or maybe the Thundering Herd, something like that.
So. You're comparing yourself to a football team.
Okay. I am. Call me Holgerson. You know who else is behind the scenes doing some great stuff for West Virginia music?
You are.
I was going to say Joni Deutsch.
Oh, shut up.
Actually, as I call her, the Terry Gross of West Virginia music. So, I appreciate what you do. In terms of highlighting musicians.
I swear I didn't pay you to say this.
She didn't. This was, you know, in my notes here that I wrote down because I, you know, am an astute NPR or public broadcasting host. Also, I appreciated the highlights on female musicians.
Yeah. That was important. Like, last year I felt like I didn't do as much with that. And then this year that there had to have been more genres, more areas that are outside of Huntington and Charleston, Morgantown, and also more female musicians.
Yeah.
There should be more diversity in the scene, or at least highlighting that.
Yeah, I appreciated, the features on Alaysha Okudwa, mm-hmm. Who was formerly of Quiet, And the Whiskey Victor, that was really interesting. Baroque folk, who would have thought?
Yeah, and we're two WVU students that were just, like, they're like 20, 19-something, 20-something, and they're so young, but they're so talented, and I think they're going to have a really bright future. So.
They sounded like it, and they sounded like they really gelled together.
They're sisters,
But sisters fight a lot. Yeah. You know, I know that. From
having a sister?
Yes. From being in a family myself. I know that, you know, sisters not always get along.
Yeah.
So it was great to hear their chemistry, I felt like. Also, Caitlin Reed was very cool, too. I thought that was a good interview, too.
Yeah, you know, Caitlin Reed, her being in, you know, there's not everyone in the series, you know, was born and raised in West Virginia. Not everyone continues to reside in West Virginia. You know, it's just they have some connection to the Mountain State. And in her case, I mean, she's down in North Carolina doing really well, but she still has Parkersburg in her heart. And, you know, she still has a big connection to the state. So,
yeah.
And I like her sound, too. It's very, like, blues, folky, singer-songwriter-y. I think it's gorgeous.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Yeah. No, I loved her music. And, but yeah, it's really great to get, you know, these features on females. You can't just have the old same, you know, grungy dude playing guitar the whole time, you know. You can't just have that the whole time. You got to branch out. I feel like female musicians will really, you know, bring a new light to music. And it's not just, you know, scraggly guy with long hair and playing guitar.
It's true.
Or
I mean,
bass.
Hazel Dickens was like the matriarch of mountain music. And she started here in West Virginia. And there's no reason why other women can't do the same in their respective genres.
Yeah. More power to women. You know, I saw Wonder Woman last night. So, so you know, and I know
so
that
you just feel all empowered, don't you?
Yeah. No, I'm all about the female musicians right now, and power to the female. You know, I know that Wonder Woman's one of your big influences.
Yeah, I really like her voice acting in Justice League and Justice League Unlimited, the cartoon series of the early 2000s. It was so good, and looking back on it now, I think that was kind of one of the reasons why my voice, my public radio voice, turned out the way it was, because I loved listening to her and seeing her being the strong, I hate to say strong female character, but actually being a dynamic character.
Yeah, no, it shows. And I mean, you know, power to the woman.
Power to the woman.
But yeah, those were the biggest things that I gained from your music series.
Well, what do you think is left unsaid about West Virginia music?
Wow.
Based off your experience, I mean, you deal in a lot of different, you know, realms of music between being a composer, being a radio host of music, being, you know, an eclectic musician on the side.
I'm gonna go, you know, with, you know, something that I know and love, and I'm gonna say that there should be more classical music.
I knew you were gonna say that. I think that's a good thing to say.
Mm-hmm. But no, there's plenty of great musicians out there to, you know, interview conductors, maybe even the new conductor of the West Virginia Symphony or something like that, or, you know, other composers, or maybe people behind the scenes like Betty King, who like helps run the West Virginia Symphony Orchestra, or Joe Tackett or something like that. So just one thought that I had.
No, I think that's an excellent thought. And moving into this series, I was like, I want there to be a classical component. That's why, one, I wanted to get you on the mic, Matt, and then two, getting Alaysia on as well, because she's also the music instructor for a school, and she shows how classical music isn't just classical, it's something else.
Right.
But I agree. I think there's a lot left unsaid about classical music in West Virginia, and that's something that, you know, hope to move towards.
Yeah, because a lot of people, you know, don't think of West Virginia as a classical music place, but, you know, I've talked to, you know, colleagues of mine. And when they listen to the West Virginia Symphony Orchestra, they're like, what, really? This is West Virginia's orchestra? That's incredible. Like, I think we are lucky to have the West Virginia Symphony Orchestra and the Wheeling Symphony, just some incredible symphonies here in our state, you know.
Youth Symphony.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right.
And they're touring Europe and all this, all sorts of stuff. The West Virginia Youth Symphony Orchestra is so doing big things here in classical, you know, not just rock and roll here in West Virginia, or folk.
What did Frank Stowers say? Like, didn't Frank make a... Frank Stowers is another host of classical music at West Virginia Public Broadcasting, and I felt like a month or so ago he made the comment about how... What was it? A listener came up to him on the street, that like someone probably under the age of 20, listened to his classical music program on the station and told him that he really enjoyed listening to Frank perform, or, you know, play a cut off a CD that was some Tchaikovsky or something. And I think Frank said something like, I thought that kids only liked rock and roll music.
Yes.
And then what, Matt, you responded by saying, oh, no, kids like can like classical too.
Yeah, kids can rock out to Rachmaninoff just as easily as, you know, Zeppelin or something. Of course, I couldn't name a contemporary rock and roll artist.
I know.
really shows my age right now.
As soon as you said Zeppelin, I'm like, oh, Matt, are you sure you're not, you know?
Something the last 40 years, maybe, please.
Well, I think that was a good comment about classical music in the state.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts about West Virginia music moving ahead?
My question is, when are you going to get interviewed?
I don't know if I need to be interviewed. I think my voice is already heard in the interviews.
Okay.
You know, and also I don't know what else I have to say. If you boil me down, I'm a girl with curly hair on public radio with a sheepdog that likes that likes local music. Like, you pretty much have it there.
Okay.
You just interviewed me, Matt.
That was it. Yes, I just did it. One
no
question.
No one will ever need to interview me again. No, I think my joy comes from, I love listening to stories more than I love giving them. So I, you know, like you and your background, living here in Charleston and being able to do so many different things in Texas with, you know, going to University of Texas,
mm-hmm.
right? University of Texas and coming back here and staying in the state and becoming a classical music performer and producer and radio host, all that. It's a cool story to be able to share with others.
Well, thanks, Journey. Yeah, it's fun to be able to share. It's hard to keep all of those things together.
With
sometimes.
2 degrees, I should have said, with 2 degrees
that's true.
In classical music.
2 degrees in classical, 1 in Chinese. That's kind of out there, but you know, that's there. But yeah, it's tough keeping all these things together, all three of, you know, radio, freelance composition, and playing in a band. But you know, I'm waiting for it all crumble down or something. But no, I think I really enjoy it, and it's been a fun trying to balance all three of these things. You know, maybe one of these three will, you know, push me in one sort of direction. You know, maybe classical will break, or maybe the company stores will break, and I will have to, you know, maybe, you know, give up one of the two and follow just the company stores, or just follow radio. You know, we'll see what happens, or maybe all three.
Maybe all three. Maybe none. No, maybe not.
Maybe
none.
None.
No, maybe not. It'll. I bet it'll be at least two, if not three. That's just how you're able to manage. Well, Matt, any other thoughts about West Virginia music?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really underrated. You know, and really, you know, isolation. You know, we have these mountains here. And I feel like, you know, West Virginia sometimes is isolated from the rest of the world. But sometimes isolation breeds creativity. And I think, you know, being cut off from some of the world actually helps us to breed new and creative music. And that we can export to the rest of the country and to the rest of the world. So, yeah, isolation sometimes breeds creativity. And I think West Virginia's more creative, has great artists, but they just need to get exported to other places in the country.
Well, Matt, if people are wondering how they can get a hold of you for, you know, an original composition or anything else in life, where can they find you?
Okay. Jackfurt.com is my website, and there's a contact page on it. And, you know, I'm on Facebook. You can always message me. I respond to any message that is sent.
Any message.
Any.
You receive emails and letters from fans from around the state.
Fans and enemies.
Matt has no enemies.
No.
But people can go to your website. They can visit your Facebook account.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think those are the best ways to contact me or email me. Or, but if you do the contact page on my website, jackford.com, it will send an email to me that I will get and aptly respond to. So, yeah, please feel free to reach out. Anybody out there who's looking for some classical music or written compositions or even film or video game scores.
That's true. Matt's also done video game scores.
That's true.
Which
yep.
He's also a big nerd when it comes to Zelda.
Yes. Yes, that is correct.
And that's the end of the interview. Thank you, Matt.
All right. Thanks, Joni. Appreciate you having me on.
You're welcome.